time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
I love rock and roll.
You know, that's a remake.
And Chad P.
I bought a new shampoo, which has conditioner in it.
That's very nice.
My hair gel's not working.
That's very nice. I wish I hadn't brought that up. Okay. we're talking about...
Class is in.
Good afternoon. Rock School.
Two words.
That's right. My name is Joe Burns, a professor right here, Communication Department, Southeastern Louisiana University. To my immediate right, two more words.
Chad P.
That's right. Or a word and a letter.
Yeah.
You know, have you purchased an album in a while, or do you just go and do nothing but download songs?
No, I download a lot.
See, I haven't purchased an album, and I can't tell you when. So I only do the downloads and such. But when I was buying albums, it was starting to cheese me off how much money I was actually spending to buy the album. And I was so happy when the internet came out because I started spending less at Amazon and CD Now and places like that.
Yeah, because most of the time when you buy an album, you only want like two or three songs.
Yeah, that's right. The albums back in the 60s used to be every song was a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just turning, you know, I'm spending too much money for this. And then Napster came out, and you could do it a song at a time. And all these young kids, you darn kids in your rock and roll, you started going on and on about the concept of these people are making too much money, and CDs cost too much, and all of that. Do you know how much a CD really costs?
Well,
do you know how much the artist makes?
No.
Do you know how much the store gets and all of that?
No.
That's all what's known as royalties.
Royalties, yeah, right.
And what I'm going to do today, play a bunch of songs that deal with royalties. Play a bunch of songs that deal with how these people, these musicians make their money. And I'm going to tell you exactly how much the record stores make, how much Apple makes, how much the downloads make, and how much all that stuff breaks down for. So when you go in and you lay down your money or you pay 99 cents for a song on iTunes, I'm going to tell you exactly how much everybody makes. You're either going to go, oh, I feel really good about doing this, or you're going to go, bring back Napster. I think these people make too gosh darn much money. So
great.
When we get back,
math class,
I'm going to tell you exactly what happens if you walk into a store and you lay down the money to purchase an album. Then we're going to do downloading. So we will begin. Here's John Stewart. Not that John Stewart. The John Stewart who wrote Daydream Believer for the Monkees. People out there, especially the musicians, are turning music into gold. Listen to the backup singing. It's Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac. When we get back on Rock School, you buy an album? Who gets what? How much goes here? How much goes there? How much does the artist get? On Rock School.
Down in the California town, and the people are in for the evening. I jump into my car and I throw in my...
Rock School. We're going to talk about royalties today. You pay your money for a song? Who gets what? There you go. John Stewart and Stevie Nicks and the people out there turning music into gold. He was a member of the Kingston Trio, believe it or not, with that thick voice back in the 1960s. And, as I said before, wrote Daydream Believer for the Monkees. That was back from 1979. Okay.
Okay.
You decide to buy an album.
All
the
right.
Album is by Joe and the Chad Peas. Okay. It's the best I could come up with. I'm sorry.
I gotta be the band.
It's by Chad P and the Joes.
Okay, great.
I like Joe and the Chad Peas anyway.
All right.
I like to lead the whole thing. Here's what happens.
Okay.
The store gets 30%.
All right.
The record label for marketing and distribution gets 49%. Okay. The manufacturer gets 0.5%. Mm. The songwriter and publisher gets 0.5%. The recording artist gets 11%.
Wait a minute. If my math serves me correct, there's only a couple of percents left.
No, there's none percents left.
Nothing?
That adds up to 100. So here's what happens. You buy a compact disc.
Okay.
You waltz into a record store.
All right.
You buy a compact disc. You spend $16.
Yep.
Here's how it breaks down.
Okay.
The store gets $4.72.
All right.
The record label gets the lion's share, $7.90.
Okay.
The manufacturer gets 84 cents. The songwriter and publisher share 84 cents.
Share 84 cents.
Which means they get 42 apiece. The recording artist, the person who actually performed the song,
mm-hmm.
gets $1.70. Well, what if the performing artist is the person who actually wrote it? Well, then he or she gets both the $1.70
and 42 cents.
The 42 cents together.
You only make at most a couple of bucks.
Maybe. And that's just on the album.
Oh,
that
man.
We haven't talked about individual songs. So when you say $16 is too much to pay, don't get angry at the artist.
Hmm.
The artist isn't making the lion's share of the money. That's going to the record label at 49%.
Okay, well, answer me this.
All right.
Okay, how come like Amazon charges less than, you know, what you would normally pay?
Like at Walmart.
Like if I go to Walmart at $16, I can get it on Amazon for $12.
They cut their 30%.
Oh, they do?
Right. So instead of taking 30%, what'll happen is the record label isn't going to take less money.
Uh-huh.
The manufacturer isn't going to take less money. The okay. songwriter isn't going to take less money. What Amazon has is a national business. They have a national audience.
Mm-hmm.
So what they'll say is, we know for a fact we have this national audience. We're going to sell 5 to every 1 mm-hmm. that the local Walmart is going to sell. So instead of charging the same price, we'll charge $2 less, knowing that we're going to sell 5 to every 1
okay.
that you're going to sell. And we know we'll sell that 5 because instead of charging $16, what we'll do is charge $14.
Okay.
So Walmart will have to pull in the $4.72 as profit.
Mm-hmm.
What Amazon will do is pull in $2.72.
Okay. But because they sell to more people,
they can take less profit.
Gotcha.
And you know how they can do that?
How?
Because they love rock and roll. So put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
That's a nice segue.
Oh, I'm a radio professional.
Yay.
I love that. Take your time and dance with me. I'm not even sure how to spell that. Joan Jett on Rock School. You know, that's a remake.
Is it?
Originally, that was done by a group called The Arrows. Mm. And that's even a remake for Joan Jett. The first time that she recorded that, she did it in 1979 with two people from the Sex Pistols, Steve Jones and Paul Cook. And then redid it back in 1982, where she had the big number one hit, the one you just heard, with her band at that time, The Blackheart. And that thing was number one for 7 weeks.
Damn,
that made
man.
Her a little bit of money.
I have been all about some Joan Jett ever since the very second episode of Rock School featuring all females.
Oh, yeah.
And we were rocking out.
And she was doing The Runaways.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
man.
Daddy's Cherry Bomb. That was the name of that song. Cherry Bomb, I think, was just the name of the song. Do you download?
Yeah, I do.
Now, you download legally.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you don't do any of the LimeWire, which is basically, you know, download a virus wire.
I learned my lesson, and my poor Dell suffered the consequences.
Yeah, that'll teach
never,
you.
I will never, ever do LimeWire again.
If you download a song, and what I have here is the download breakdown. We're talking about royalties on Rock School today. When you download a song, when you buy a song, who gets paid what?
Who gets
you know,
what?
Yeah, where's all the money go when you pay your 99 cents? And what I have here is the breakdown from iTunes. Go to iTunes, give them their 99 cents. They have to pay all these things called distribution rights. But obviously, you know, Steve Jobs doesn't get to buy all those really nice turtleneck sweaters by being poor.
How
so,
in the world do you divide up 99 cents?
Well, pretty quickly. Apple takes 34 cents of it.
Okay.
Okay. The record label takes, again, the lion's share, 47 cents of it.
Okay,
the songwriter...
29.64,
carry the one.
The
songwriter and the publisher share 8 cents.
Share 8 cents.
Well, 4 cents apiece.
4 pennies.
Believe it or not. The artist and the producer split the remaining dime.
Oh, my word.
Now, the reason they're put together like that is oftentimes the songwriter and the publisher are the same person.
Okay.
And the artist and the producer are sometimes the same person. So
right.
Apple takes 34, the record label takes 47, songwriter and publisher takes 8 cents, the artist and the producer then split the remaining dime, that makes up your 99 cents. Can you tell me the first million-selling downloadable song?
No.
Hollaback Girl by Gwen Stefani.
Oh,
that was the first
one.
Well, we're not going to play her. We are going to say, in order for you to download more songs, you know what you have to do?
What?
Get a job.
My friend's got a girlfriend, man. He hates that. He tells me every day. He says, man, I really gotta lose my chick in the worst kind of way. She sits on her.
Drums on
Rock
School.
Hey, that's something everyone can enjoy.
There you go. Fantastic. The album cut with a little guy at the end.
I so did not know that that voice was at the end.
Isn't that wonderful?
I
absolutely love it.
I just thought that there was a third person in the studio.
Dealing with royalties today on Rock School. Hey, who gets what?
Well, who gets any money? I was calculating up the numbers, and if
right.
you got to split a dime with someone, even if you get a couple of thousand, maybe let's say you get downloaded 20,000 times.
Yeah, you're not going to make very much money.
You barely got enough to make a house note.
You're right.
How do you make money?
You tour. You tour. Aerosmith talked about their music library being worth in the $35 to $40 million range until downloading came along, and then it was only worth song to song.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to make serious money is through touring. Let's take a quick break, make pause for the cause, make our own little bit of money here,
yeah.
And then I'll come back and I'll talk to you real quickly about touring and play a song, talk to you about who's making the most money, especially in 2008, by touring. 1 minute, back in a heartbeat on Rock School. Okay, welcome back to Rock School, everybody, as we talk about who gets what. It's royalties and the concept of money in the music business. We've talked about buying an album. We've talked about downloading a song. And Chad said, well, how do you make any money? Well, there used to be an old adage. You either make money by touring and then you break even on making records, or you tour and break even touring and you make money by making records. You do one or the other.
Okay.
You break even on one and you make the money on the other, but because of downloading, that's completely out the window now.
You're talking about breaking even, so obviously that there's some kind of cost.
Oh, sure.
With everything. What kind of cost are you looking
in
at?
In terms of touring, obviously you have to get all the people from here to there and feed them and
okay.
do all of that, and you have to ask so much money at each venue to cover all those costs, and by covering all those costs, then make a profit when you, you know, perform.
Okay.
X number of dollars has to be paid to you. You see, you don't take money at the gate anymore.
You don't?
You are paid money to perform, and then the, well, I'm sure there are still deals where you take part of the gate,
mm-hmm.
but you anymore are paid to perform, and then the money is taken by the house.
Okay.
Like the house will say, we'll pay you $30,000 to perform
right.
one night, and then the house is betting that you're going to bring in X number of people.
Hopefully more than 30,000.
Of course. They want to make their profit.
Yeah.
That's kind of thing. That way they put all of the concept on you to get the people there and what have you, whereas if you don't bring in enough people, blah, blah, blah. So
you
it's
know,
a bet back and forth.
That makes perfect sense.
Sure.
Mark, because as someone working in promotions, when I deal with some of these venues over these big names that are coming to New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they're more than willing to give us free comps to get in, and then other times they're not so generous.
It depends on how the deal is being set up.
It makes perfect
sure.
sense now.
For example, it seems now that the Rolling Stones, even though they have such a humongous library, they can't make their nut, if you will, the concept of the nut. That phrase comes from the old concept of coming into town to do a circus. They used to take the nuts off of the carts.
Okay.
And when you paid them their money, they gave you your nut back. And
okay.
you put the nut back on the wheel and you could leave.
Oh.
You know, they took your nut. And
okay.
when they put the nut back on, you could leave. To make their nut, they can't do it on their royalties anymore, because in 2006, the Stones only made $12 million in royalties.
Oh, only.
That's the Stones.
Okay.
No, remember, how many songs do the Stones have? 11 D gabajillion.
Yeah.
That's only $12 million in royalties, but they toured, one tour, the Bigger Bang Tour, $138 million.
Uh-huh.
See, so that's where the Stones... Now, understand also, that's the Stones. They're paid to tour.
Right.
A sponsor comes along and pays them to tour.
Okay.
Let's play a tune. We'll come back, and I will tell you the top tours of 2008. Here's Neil Young. Ain't singing for Pepsi, ain't singing for Coke. This note's for you on Rock School. Notes for you, Neil Young. Yes.
Love a good outro.
Me too, yeah. It was Neil Young in the Blue Notes, and it had to be actually recalled and resent out because Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes actually took legal action against him, so ain't singing for Pepsi, but he certainly was getting sued.
Poor guys. I mean, you're not making any money already off of your royalties.
Yeah.
You've got to pay all those court costs.
Here are the, according to 2008, the current tours that are out there, here are the ones that are making the most money. Number 10, Michael Bublé. Number 9, Ozzy Osbourne. Number 8, Manna. Ever heard of Manna?
Who's Manna?
I'm assuming Manna, it's a religious term as in manna from heaven.
Right.
I'm assuming it's a Christian band.
Ooh.
I don't know. Number 7, Keith Urban. Number 6, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Get out of here.
Honest to goodness. Number 5, Rascal Flatts. Number 4, Barry Manilow.
The Manilow himself.
Number 3, Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus. She of interesting picture fame.
Yeah.
Number 2, Van Halen. And number 1, Bon Jovi.
Now, are
those are the biggest ones now.
Are you upset that Bon Jovi is number 1 over your band?
No, I gave Van Halen $111 of my dollars. That's how much my ticket was.
And so. They received... How much of that?
I don't know.
According to your tour formula.
I have no idea. I'm sure they're paid a certain amount of money. In fact, I have, if you want to see it, it's up in my office. The very first concert, the very first Van Halen concert I went to was on the Hide Your Sheep Tour.
What?
The Hide Your Sheep Tour, that's what it's called. And I was able to get a hold of the... one of the yellow sheets. You know how a contract has 7 or 8 sheets?
Yeah,
you press
yeah.
hard, you're making many copies.
Yeah.
I have one of the sheets from the Richfield Coliseum.
Oh, cool.
And this was back in, gosh, it would probably be 81 or 82. I'd have to take a look at it. But I have one of the sheets, and they were paid $25,000 to play the Richfield Coliseum back in 81 or 82, and it has David Lee Roth's signature.
Yay.
Down at the bottom. He was the signer for the entire band, and it's framed and hanging on my wall. Man, I'm pathetic. Welcome to the bottom of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Come to our website.
Please.
See us. We are beautiful men. KSLU.org. Look for the chalkboard on the side. Rock School. Click it. Write us an email. Chad?
KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. You know, I say that every week, but if you go to the website, the Rock School portion of KSLU.org,
yeah.
there's a link that says contact us.
And it'll do
which
it.
Which basically goes to KSLU Rock School at gmail.com.
So we have a stump on Cyndi Lauper because
yep,
we're going to play the song Money Changes Everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna try something here. This is the first stump on Rock School that I'm going to give the answer before you even give the question.
Are you doing like Karnak?
Yeah, Karnak, the psychic.
Okay.
Captain Lou Albano.
Nope.
You know,
no
see,
wrestling
you asked
reference.
So many wrestling questions, and she was aligned with this guy.
That's true.
Okay, shoot. I know nothing about Cyndi
Lauper.
You'll
get this. I'm
telling
you.
Nothing.
You really should get this.
Okay, shoot.
You ready?
Yeah.
What 1985 Steven Spielberg cinema classic?
Goonies.
Thank you!
Thank you. Very nice. I was really sweating this because I had class all day and there's no way I could even sit with Wikipedia and do it. I was really in trouble. So.
The rest of the question goes that saw her as the music director eventually going to the hospital because she almost literally, Doc, worked herself to death.
How about that?
She had to go to the hospital because she worked too hard.
How about that? Something else. Money changes everything. Cyndi Lauper, when we get back, do radio stations pay any money to play this music that they play?
Huh?
Yes, they do. Big bucks. I'll tell you what they pay when we get back. Money changes everything. Lauper, Rock School. Cyndi Lauper on Rock School, Money Changes Everything.
Now, I thought I was going to bring up something about wrestling.
You always
you
do.
You think all I talk about is wrestling,
it's
Guitar Hero,
you
and hair gel.
It's because you do. You haven't been hair gelling yourself lately. It kind of looks natural.
I bought a new shampoo, which has conditioner in it.
That's
and
very nice.
My hair gel's not working.
That's very nice. I wish I hadn't brought that up. Okay. We're talking about royalties here today on Rock School. We've done the whole thing about buying the music and downloading the music and touring and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're here on the radio.
Yeah.
Now, really, do people get any money for, you know, playing songs on the radio and DJing and all that kind of stuff?
We've talked about it a couple of times.
Certainly do. They get royalties. This radio station, well, technically not this radio station. This is a college radio station. So the college pays the royalties to play the music on here. In fact, I was at a party this past weekend, a birthday party, and a guy at the birthday party said, I was listening to the radio station and I heard a song during a commercial. You guys weren't paying royalties on that. Oh, yes, you bet we were.
Yeah.
That's how it's done. There are two music licensing firms. If you look at the end of, say, a movie or the end of a television show and something, it'll say somebody's name, and then after it, you'll see either ASCAP, A-S-C-A-P, or BMI. ASCAP is the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, or BMI is Broadcast Music Incorporated.
Yeah, we do BMI.
What happens is somebody who decides to, you know, become a professional author joins one of these two.
Mm-hmm.
They are competitors. They attempt to get artists to join them by saying, I'll pay you more or I'll give you a better deal here and there. They're competitors against each other. They both came in. One came in 1914. That's ASCAP. The other one, BMI, came in 1939. And they compete against one another. And when you decide to align with one, you said, we're BMI here. Mm-hmm. You pay one of two ways. You either pay a blanket fee, which is what I think we pay here. You pay a big chunk of change that is figured on the amount of listeners that you have. And by paying this huge blanket fee, you can pay anything you want.
Okay.
As many times as you want. Now, you have to report who you play.
Yeah, we do that.
So you know, so they know who to pay the royalties to.
Right. They send a sheet, like a packet.
Yeah,
so to
who
speak,
are you playing?
And they want to know for an entire week, 24
right.
hours, who we played.
Who you played. That way they know who to pay the royalties to.
Yeah.
If you decide not to play the blanket fee, multiple times through the years, you get that same piece of paper, and you have to fill it out, and then they figure on that piece of paper not only who to pay the royalties to, but how much to charge you.
Gotcha.
And they do that for every radio station in the world, period. Well, what about online radio stations? Same thing, except it's a different fee structure. Each online radio station is known as a channel that pays $500 per channel, and then a certain amount of money to get into it is just mathematically silly, but a certain amount of money per hour of listening per audience.
Okay.
So online radio stations are just about the same as ASCAP and BMI.
What about,
that's how it works.
What about satellite radio?
Satellite radio, I'm actually have something to get into it, but satellite radio is by far the largest payer of royalties in the United States, period.
Oh.
Larger than movie theaters, larger than movie houses. They are the number one payer of royalties in the multi-millions period. And now that the Department of Justice has allowed Sirius and XM to go together,
yeah,
it will become an astronomical amount of money.
Cool.
There you go. That's how radio stations pay to play their music. Listen to the money talk. It's AC/DC on Rock School. Spell it correctly, money talk, all run together, no space in the middle of it.
Dude.
If you saw them on that tour, what happened during the song Money Talk, and by the way, it's one of the highest charting singles they've ever done. During that song, they had printed up thousands of Angus bucks, which were dollar bills with Angus Young's picture on them. If you were able to get one of them, they're actually worth some money now. People are selling them
serious?
On eBay. Yeah, actually selling some money. I have here a list of things that are royalty paid, meaning if you do this or you actually have music on this, you get paid royalties on it, and you'd never think to think, somebody's getting paid royalty on that?
Like what?
I'm going to tell you what they are. We have to stop for a minute. You know why?
Because we got to
pay some
bills.
Because we have to do some obscene profit center stuff. This show doesn't pay for itself.
Nope.
Huh? We have to continue with the life we've become accustomed to. Back in a minute on Rock School. Rock School, as we talk about royalties, where does the money go? Who gets paid what? Think about this. Are they really being paid royalties for that? Is money really going around for that?
Like,
oh,
what,
yeah.
What are you talking about?
Here
are
some things. You bet you never thought this stuff did royalties.
What?
You ever gone into a restaurant and sat down and there's music being played over the loudspeakers?
Yeah, elevator music.
Royalties are being paid for that.
No, they are not.
When DJs are being played at dances, you go to a dance and a DJ plays?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be paying royalties on that. Did you know that?
No.
When a music is being played in the background of a commercial, royalties are supposed to be being played for that.
Wow.
Do you have satellite or cable TV?
Yeah.
You ever heard that, ever gone to those channels that have music, like just music on the channel, or
yeah,
there's a channel where they're running announcements and such, and there's music being played in the background?
Yeah.
Royalties.
Wow.
Video games. Royalties. Computer games. Royalties. Ringtones. Royalties.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on.
Sheet music. Royalties.
Okay, I used to play a game on my grandfather's old computer back
yes,
when I was like 9 or 10 years old.
Yes.
It was a detective game, and in the background it was going,
guess what they had to do?
Pay royalties on that?
You don't want to know someplace else they're now paying royalties?
What?
8.5 cents for each one?
Huh?
Greeting cards. Have you seen those greeting cards? You open them up and
they play music?
You have to pay royalties. According to Congress, every time you sell one of those greeting cards that plays a song that's under copyright,
yeah,
8.5 cents per greeting card.
We're in the wrong business.
We are in the very wrong business.
We're musicians.
We should get this together and actually
do
it. We're going to go BMI or ASCAP?
I flip a coin. I don't care.
BMI. Let's okay, work for MCA. Here's Lynyrd Skynyrd on Rock School. Just can't miss that sound. You just can't miss that sound. That trio of guitars, two Gibsons, one Fender out front. You just can't miss that sound.
Hey,
beautiful. Lynyrd Skynyrd.
I'll gladly pay royalties on that.
Yeah, working for MCA here on Rock School.
What's
as we
MCA?
Talk about
what's
royalties.
That?
MCA is their record company.
Okay.
They're working for MCA. That's why I put it in there. We're just playing music that sort of backed up the topic. Every so often you say to yourself, well, you know, I got to find all this music that sits, but it was one of those things. I couldn't find music that had the word royalty in it, or I couldn't find music that really fit. So I just got music that kind of supported it. And you heard a couple songs where, you know, listen to the money talk. So we played money talk. I had to find music that just sort of surrounded the topic.
Go get a job.
Yeah. How do you buy more music? Go get a job. And I really like that song by The Offspring, so that played it. We're out of here. We got time for one more, so I'll give you a couple more little pieces of information. You had me bring this up a little earlier on. XM and Sirius Radio, the largest royalty payers in the United States. Guess what is the largest grossing royalty song in the United States? You'll never get this, but take a shot at it.
The largest, okay.
It plays every day, thousands of times a day across the United States.
American Pie.
Do, 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 do.
The Jeopardy theme?
The Think music on Jeopardy. It's under contract.
Are you?
Merv Griffin Enterprises. Merv Griffin wrote it. Laugh at Merv Griffin all you want, but when he died, they buried him in a solid gold coffin. This guy was rich. Happy birthday.
Who has that?
Happy Birthday was for a while under copyright to the two women that wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Copyright is, believe it or not, a good 50 years till after you die. They wrote it in the late 1800s. Now it's under copyright to a film company and will not expire until 2030. So technically, if you sing Happy Birthday, you're supposed to pay copyright on it.
Well.
Yeah. That's the number one song that's sang in the United States. The number two song that's sang in the United States is For He's a Jolly Good Fellow. The number three song sang in the United States is Auld Lang Syne. Those two are not. Hmm. So it's time to start singing Auld Lang Syne and For He's a Jolly Good Fellow at birthdays, because if they catch you singing Happy Birthday, the copyright police, you're supposed to pay.
Look.
Actual royalties
on
it.
You sing Jolly Good Fellow at my family's birthday or whatever, you're going to get hit.
They're going to throw things at me?
Of course.
You know, you're supposed to pay a little blip of money. So that's it, folks. That's where all the money goes. When you buy the music, when you buy the album, that's where it all goes. So if you want to keep playing with LimeWire and all those free downloads, number one, you're going to get covered in viruses.
Yep.
Number two, good luck to you. I guess it's not right, but that's where all the money goes.
Show me the money.
We're going to finish with Chicago from Chicago 14. It's called I'd Rather Be Rich. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
And I'd rather be rich. Class is dismissed.